also as a group, moving forward, comfort in all those situations. And it was such a blessing for me that basically I'm yanking Joe's message and I'm putting it up here right now, which if I'm going to yank a message from somebody, it'll be Joe. Joe preached Christ every week for 36 years. And that's what I pray to do right now. So in this message, or in this scripture from Ezekiel 34:31, it says once again that, then they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the sovereign God. The title of this message today is, God is with you, all is well. The prophet that wrote this gives us some pretty blessed knowledge that Jehovah your God is with you. It's the first thing he says here. Let them know that I am the Lord their God and with them. Is there a more comforting thought than to think that God is with you? It's the greatest comfort of all. The name that was promised in Isaiah was Emmanuel, and that it literally means God is with you, God among you. Is there anything that we could desire more than that, than to have God with us? And on the opposite, is there anything more scary or cursed than the idea of God not being with you? We talk about all the sufferings that Christ dealt with in his life. We often think of that one moment being the lowest point when he says, God, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Why have you left me? That is the definition of hell. To be endlessly cut off from the gracious, loving aspect of God. To have no Emmanuel. It doesn't mean God isn't in hell. The inhabitants of that place would love it if he wasn't. He's there with unimaginable wrath. The change is, instead of being there for them in their time of trouble, he becomes their trouble. It's not Satan that rules and punishes in hell. It is God's wrath that they are dealing with. But the opposite, in this passage, to be assured, to be promised as God's people, that God is with you in a gracious, loving way, is literally a slice of heaven. To know that, to be promised that, even when it does not feel that way. Can't trust your emotions. I've said that quite a bit up here, so has Joe. You can't trust emotions. You can't trust feelings. You can't trust really anything in this world. You can trust these promises and to know that whatever situation you're in, including the one that we're all kind of dealing with right now, God is with you. It's promised. There's no condition for any man or group of believers in which the words, I am with you, don't indicate perfect safety. Now, safety is an interesting word to choose. But David, what James read for us this morning, gives us a great example of this. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. And in that situation, I mean, could there be a more terrifying picture of the valley of the shadow of death? I mean, what is that? Does that mean David was worried about approaching the end of his life, like death, in the very literal term? Certainly it applies there, but I don't think that's what he's talking about. He talks in the present tense, that I am currently walking through that valley of the shadow of death. And he wasn't near the end of his life. He wasn't looking to some far-off day in the future when he was closer to dying. David was considering his present condition. He called it that present condition as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Ever since we were conceived in our mother's womb, we have been walking through the valley of the shadow of death. This world, ever since Adam sinned, is literally that valley. And our lives, as there are aspects that we can definitely enjoy, but our lives are literally plodding through that valley of the shadow of death. This is a cursed world. But of all the dreadfulness of such a place, for the believer, there is no danger. Now, no danger could be discomfort, could be sadness, could be heartache, could be lots of things to be fearful of, but literally there is no danger when it comes to the people of God. David says he fears no evil because a believer walks through his life, God is with them. Is God with you? Then you are right now in the greatest danger you will ever face. Now, Joe, in his message here, he had a really good example. He's like, well, you might feel like I'd be in a much more dangerous place if I was driving down the road and my brakes went out and I was on a mountain pass and I was going to fall off a cliff. That's a little bit more dangerous than sitting in church right now. But that's not what David is talking about. Sure, you would be in greater danger of dying, but if God is with you, there is no danger in death. Death looks dangerous. Is God with you? If God is with you, you are in Christ. Then you fear no evil because there is literally no danger on your path ahead. Difficulties, uncomfortable, fine. There is no danger for your soul. None. There may be pain, there may be suffering, there may be sorrow, but there is no danger. God being with you is such a great blessing. We should be able to, like, we should want to get rid of everything else just to keep that one blessing, God being with us. John Newton wrote, this is just a good example of that, while blessed with a sense of his love, a palace, a toy would appear. And prisons would be palaces, prove, if Jesus dwelt with me there. It's a good example. Then God goes even farther to comfort us in the scripture. He says, not only is he with them, but he calls them his people. You are my people, God says to his church. Nothing can compare with being among God's people. Christ was numbered in the number of transgressors, sinners, so that I could be numbered among God's people. Christ was cast out so that God's people could be brought in. These are the people that he's talking about when he says, you are my people, the ultimate in blessed. For a while, Christ was excluded from the people of God so that we could become members of that people for eternity. So what a comfort that is when he says, not only am I with you, but you are my people. And then he says, you are my sheep, which doesn't seem terribly necessary because he just said, you're my people. But this serves a purpose. Sheep are pretty stupid. Sheep get lost. Sheep wander. Sheep go astray. That's really the only thing they're good at, is wandering and getting lost, which I'm pretty sure we can all feel a little connection to that idea. The one thing sheep need, the one thing they need is a shepherd. As a matter of fact, if they have a good shepherd, it's all they need. And he says, if the sheep have a good shepherd, they will have everything they need. All men are sheep. The great blessing is to be able to say that my Lord is my shepherd. And how do we know the Lord is our shepherd? Well, first, have you ever been lost? I think that's probably a yes. He says, I myself will search for my sheep. You don't have to search for anything if it's not already lost at some point. All men are lost, everyone. Only some are aware of the fact that they're lost. And that's done through the Spirit. Christ said that he came to seek and to save those that are lost. He made a distinction between the lost and the not lost, but not according to what men really are, according to what they thought they are. Does that make sense? So he says there are some lost and some not lost. Well, that's not true. We're all lost. But he makes a distinction in the fact that his people have been given the knowledge of the fact that they have been lost and have been found. So everyone is lost, but not everyone knows it. Many have never been saved because they've never thought they needed it. They never realized they were lost. It says, how do we know the Lord is our shepherd? Because it is he who found us. He seeks out his sheep. There's more to simply looking for them. It means he searches for them until they are found. We are thankful for those who have taught us the word, like Joe. Those of us who God used to find us. But it was not them who found us. It was God. God searches for his people, and he finds every one of them and brings them home. He says, I will, in Ezekiel 34, back in 23, it says, I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David. He will tend them, he will tend them, and be their shepherd. Well, David had been long dead at this point, so that's not who Ezekiel was referring to. He was talking about the son of David. He was talking about Christ. One shepherd over his people, and that's all his people need, is one good shepherd. God says something in the King James Version of this scripture where it says, you are my flock, the flock my pasture. And then he says something that seems like it wouldn't be necessary. You are men. The word used there for men is actually Adam. You can tell I got this part from Joe because he knows everything about scripture, about language. But Adam, we pronounce it Adam. So he's reminding us who we are and where we come from. We are Adam. We are sheep. All sheep are like Adam. We rebel like Adam. We fall like Adam. Like Adam, we live on one promise, the gospel. But like Adam, we have someone to replace us. The second Adam. Jesus Christ. They called him the last Adam. He came and he stood in our place. He succeeded where we failed. All of our failures can't overthrow his successes. Then he finishes with, and I am your God. You are Adam, and I am your God. All is well. We are Adam in all of our weakness, failure, rebellion, and stupidity. But he is still our God. He is still with us. We are still his sheep. He is still our shepherd. When the first Adam did his work, he basically said to the rest of humanity, today you will be cast out of paradise with me. When the final Adam did his work, he said to his people, today you will be with me in paradise. So, take heart, take comfort in the fact that your Adamness, your sin and failure and rebellion will not keep you from God's paradise. He is still your God. You are still his people. He calls you and he keeps you. Christ is your God. Christ is your shepherd. To know that, especially in these times, to know that we are still his, that never changes. A lot of things are changing. Christ doesn't change. His promises absolutely don't change. So to go through change in this world can be very daunting, can be scary, can be hard. But the one thing we have that we can cling to is God, Christ, and the promises that we've been given. And one of them, right here, He is our God, we are His people. All is well. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we pray that you'll be with us this morning as well as we move on to the rest of our week. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us to keep this in our hearts, that we are yours, you are our God, and that no matter what happens around us, whatever happens as we move forward, we pray, Lord, that you'll remind us that we are yours, that you are our God, you are our shepherd, and all is well. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Now we'll see.